problems will be over on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Two more days suffering under this burden. Because, as you know, my other Yeti microphone, the Blue Yeti, this is my spare. I keep it in Canton. It doesn't work anymore. I found that out when I got here. I thought I was prepared, but no. But this is what I did this morning. Thanks for bearing with me. For those of you who are interested in these technical issues, probably not many of you, but I am, so here I go. This morning I went to Amazon and I ordered a shock mount for my Yeti, my Blue Yeti. That's the name of the company, Blue. And the name of the microphone is Yeti. It's like a Ford Contour, but instead it's a Blue Yeti. It's a great microphone. But it's got a heavy stand. The stand is made of lead, and it weighs as much as a sack of beans. And so I just can't transport it. But what I did was I bought a shock mount. It's a lightweight, nice, handy thing with some elastic jobbies on it that'll keep the background noise. When you bump it, it doesn't boom, vibrate through the microphone, and it's lightweight. Why didn't I think of this sooner? Then, it's, you know how the pop filter goes? Pee, 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 sometimes pop. Well, that's why I have my windscreen. But I ordered a foam thing to go over top of this, which will be much lighter, meaning I will be able to take my microphone of this variety that works, the one in Florida, and take it with me everywhere. Like my little pet, and it is. So, your worries will be over. As far as where I'll be broadcasting from when I get back to Florida, I'm thinking of the laundry room. I like the laundry room. It's convenient. It's a haul for me to go to Coral Springs. We will see, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the Song of Moses. This is interesting because the messengers are singing the Song of Moses during the unveiling. So it's important. For some reason, it's important. And so that's why we are going back to the Song of Moses to see what is so god-awful great about this song, which is called a song because it's flowy and poetic, even though perhaps it was never put to music. Maybe it was. Maybe I'll attempt to put it to my own tune. We'll see what happens. And since it's important, we're going to go back. And as I go back, of course, I don't spend much time in Deuteronomy. I've read it, of course, several times. But I'm going back now to find out what is so great about it. And as I've done this, I found some amazing things from an excellent translation, the Concordant Literal New Testament. Wait till you hear this. Here's the introduction to the Song of Moses, 32:1. Give ear, O heavens. This is Moses speaking, and I will speak. So this is Moses now. And hear, shall the earth, the sayings of my mouth. Dribbling as rain is my influence. That's kind of insulting, dribbling like rain. I would like to say that my influence pours down from heaven like the summer downpour, but no, it dribbles, Moses is saying. Moses never was one for great self-confidence. You remember, he told God that he was ill at ease speaking to Pharaoh, and so God said, well, your brother Aaron, he's pretty good, so we'll send him with you as your mouthpiece. So poor Moses here. He was the most humble man on the earth. That's the testimony concerning him from God. So I love this guy. Dribbling as rain is my influence. Ah, that's not good. And distilling as the night mist is my saying. Distilling as the night mist. The night mist. That's what it sounds like. So Moses is not confident that his words will have a great effect on Israel. And yet here we are, 4,000 years later, reading these exact words in the scripture. To me, that is a testament to the keeping power of God. It's another way that where we are weak, when we are weak, he is powerful. I shared this with you about Paul, our apostle. Paul gave his work to Christ. There were two copies of his letters existent, possibly only one when he died, and he put his head on that chopping block, trusting that God would take care of his work. Here is one we can trust. No matter what he does, This is a God we can trust, and this is the thrust of the Song of Moses. So this is important for us to read as well. As a drizzle on herbage, poor Moses says, is my influence. As showers on verdure and as a drizzle on herbage. Ah, very picturesque wording. For in the name of Jehovah am I calling. Now we get to the power behind it. In the name of Jehovah I am calling. Yahweh, Jehovah, same thing. And so calling in the name of the Lord does not necessarily grant you an immediate sensation. Doesn't make you a superstar. But what it does do is when you put your work or your words into the hands of Yahweh, that is Jehovah, that is the God who works through time, will, being, and was. That's the meaning of Jehovah and Yahweh. The three-part tenses, will, future, being, present, was, past. He's got past, present, and future locked in. When you give your work and your words and your life to Him, then it's secure and it's safe and it's sealed. We all like to feel cozy. We all like to feel protected. We all like to know that our work matters. This is why God said, do your work as unto the Lord. Told that to Paul. Paul told it to us. Because when we do it as to humanity, things don't work. Oh, I went to my son's graduation party. No, his graduation period. The party was afterwards. And one of the speakers, it was a class president. No, it wasn't the class president. It was the college president. This was at Ohio Wesleyan University in Delaware, Ohio. He lamented, this speaker did, over the state of the world, over the environment, all the typical things that these college professors mourn about, terrorism, the environment, how mean we are to each other. And he said, but here's my hope. This is a Christian college, mind you, Ohio Wesleyan. He says, my hope is you. He looks at the graduating class of 2016. Now, a good-looking group of kids, I will admit, but I put my hope in you. You give me hope and an expectation. You're going to be disappointed, my friend. And I'm saying that even with my son among those graduates, because hope in a human being is futile. And so if you do your work or dedicate your life and expect to be recompensed or congratulated or encouraged by human beings, then many times you will be disappointed. Now, it is true, oftentimes you will be encouraged. I got a great email this morning from a woman named Greta who copied some nice comments people were making about me on Facebook. I never go to Facebook. I'm like Joe Walsh, you know, in his song, Life's Been Good. I got a mansion, forget the price. Ain't never been there. They tell me it's nice. So my Facebook page, I ain't never been there, but they tell me it's a nice page. I hope it is. Apparently, people say mean things about me once in a while, but Greta took the nice things, sent them to me. And so once in a while, we get this positive affirmation from human beings. It's a rare thing, but you can't count on it. That's why it's such a pleasant surprise when you don't count on it. But when you give your work to God, as Moses is saying, my words are dribbles. I'm like the dew that comes on the night grass and evaporates when the sun comes out. Yet Yahweh, the God of time, the God who was, who is, and will be, this is the one who takes my words, who cares for my words, who receives my words, to whom I dedicate my words. And now Moses has been dust for 4,000 years and we're reading his words. And won't he be shocked when he wakes up from the dead? I can't wait to see that. Along with the Apostle Paul and his words. That's going to be so much fun. For in the name of Jehovah am I calling. Grant greatness to our God. Love this guy Moses. Grant greatness to our God. Not to me, but to our God. The rock. The rock. Steadfast. Listen to these descriptions of God. The rock. I'm in verse 4, chapter 32. Flawless is his contriving. Now, when you hear the word contrive, I could just comment on every single line here, almost every single word. When we humans contrive something, it almost sounds like a negative connotation to that word. It's got a bad bias to it. It's a contrivance is something you've kind of put up artificially. A contrivance would be like a Hollywood wall or a scaffold. You dream something up that's kind of lightweight. But when God contrives something, it's flawless. When he contrives something. Why did I say that? He contrives everything. And everything he contrives is flawless. You remember last week I was saying that he's the placer and you're located for your particular trials. You are located. All the players in the unveiling of Jesus Christ are located where they are supposed to be. God has put them in their proper zip codes. You're at your zip code because that's where you're supposed to be. Not only that, but now he contrives everything in your life has been put together meticulously by him, and flawless is his contrivance, and he's the rock. This is not only your God, this is the God of the unveiling, and he is contriving the seals, he's contriving the thunders, he's contriving the bowls, and flawless are his contrivances. And he is the rock. He's immovable. He has never changed. He's steadfast. He doesn't alter his course on a whim. He is not diverted by human prayer. He is not diverted by human wish. He knows what is best for us, and it's always good. In the end, in the intermediary, we need to know that he's the rock. This is why this is so good. I won't get into the details on this until tomorrow. I'm going to end the week with a bang, but listen to this. We need to know these attributes of the deity because it seems to be the opposite. It seems as we walk through our lives that there is chaos about us. There are people who hate us. There are forces that threaten to destroy us. And yet, God is the rock, and flawless are his contrivances. We need to know this. The Jews need to know this. The Song of Moses, listen, is being sung before the seven bowls are poured out because they need to know of the rock, of the flawless one, before they experience the, to say the least, difficult trials that will ensue. And isn't this also great advice, a great word for us as well? We continually need to remind ourselves of the character of God. That needs to be our own rock, our own anchor, because unless we're founded on who God is, then we cannot trust him. A God you don't know is a God you can't trust. But a God you do know is a God that you can commit your life, your days, your actions, your hopes, your dreams, your goals to. And everything you put into his hands is safe. And in the end, he will deliver it better than it was when you left it to him. In the meantime, it's all about trust. Trust the God of Paul, who is the same God of Moses, the God who never changes. We change, circumstances change, he does not. Let this word comfort you today.